statewide economic report on the ferry system has some promising news for the Upper Lynn Canal. And a Haines resident makes a difference in Australia, from home. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strimple. Those stories are up next. Alaska's Marine Transportation Advisory Board met Wednesday to discuss a long-awaited study on the Alaska Marine Highway System. Research firm Northern Economics was hired by the state to examine options for restructuring the ferry system in light of recent budget cuts. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports that while the study provides guidance for reducing costs and increasing revenues, difficult questions remain about the level of service that's acceptable.
Back in April, Northern Economics was hired to find ways to reduce the state's financial obligation to the ferry system. The firm researched ways to reshape the system so that it could run on a $24 million subsidy from the state. That amount is based on the budget Governor Dunleavy proposed for the current fiscal year. Marine Transportation Advisory Board Chair Robert Venables says it is not necessarily a level of funding the state is working towards.
I don't know anyone that accepts that as a funding level for the marine highway system going forward. But that is something that the policymakers will respond to. And I think regardless of the number, which I hope will be much, much higher than that, we have a lot of service needs across, you know, the system.
Northern Economics concluded that it would be extremely difficult to provide ferry service to communities served by the marine highway with $24 million in state funding. The preferred option recommended by the firm is to divide AMHS assets between two public corporations, one for South Central Alaska and another for Southeast. The study also suggests that reducing or dropping costly routes that attract fewer passengers could save money, and the state could contract private operators to step in to serve those communities. But Venable says that there is a minimum level of service that needs to be ensured for the most remote communities.
You know, certainly there are routes that have higher revenue opportunities, but quite honestly, sometimes the need is much greater in the more rural communities that have no connection. So I think, you know, the question is going to be, you know, what is the type of service that is appropriate and what's the frequency of service?
The economic analysis of the Lynn Canal was more promising than other ferry routes. Haines is one of the top three ports for bringing in revenue for the system. And the study found that increasing the number of sailings in Lynn Canal appears to increase revenue more than it increases costs. But even so, Venable says ticket sales aren't covering enough of the operating costs.
The downside is fare box recovery is still only, you know, just barely above a third. So the costs are still much, much higher than, you know, the revenue to provide that service. And so even in Lynn Canal, changes will have to be made, especially if the fleet shrinks and that same boat has to serve multiple communities throughout the region.
You can read the entire AMHS reshaping study online at khns.org. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Extreme cold weather warnings abound in the Upper Lynn Canal, while devastating wildfires threaten lives, homes, and wildlife across the globe in Australia. One Haines resident is donating her time and art for the relief effort.
So it starts with this wire, and basically you make the head part first.
To make a koala-shaped pendant, all Cassie Miller needs is jeweler's wire, a few beads, her pliers, and a moment of quiet.
And then clip.
She bends an arc in the copper wire with a practiced hand.
Pinch that down so it doesn't snag anybody and it doesn't move.
When the pendant is done, it's the wire outline of a koala bear. Thread a chain through its feet, and it looks like the pendant is climbing along your necklace. She's made hundreds of these in the last few weeks in response to overwhelming demand. It's a testament to her skill and a cause. All of the proceeds from Miller's koala pendant necklaces go to Wildlife Rescue Sunshine Coast, a relief organization in Australia.
They're kind of like the Chilkat Valley Community Fund of animal rescues in Australia. if I had done it by myself, I couldn't have done more than like $20 or $30. But I have lots of art supplies and people are responding well to it. And so far we've raised over $2,000.
Counting her latest orders, it's closing in on $2,500. The mother of two is known locally for her wire jewelry, but now she's gaining an international audience. She's even had some orders from Australia. Getting all the pendants out the door is a challenge. Miller works in childcare and homeschools her two boys. So that quiet moment for jewelry making comes after hours.
When I should be sleeping.
Miller makes her pendants at night, after the rest of the family has gone to sleep. She says she's often sculpting wire for orders until well after midnight. Miller was moved to take action one evening while reading with her son. His favorite book is the Australian Animal Atlas, a gift from his traveling uncle. Meanwhile, new sources estimate more than 500 million of those wild animals have died in the wildfires. The juxtaposition between the book and the dire news on her Facebook newsfeed got Miller thinking.
I was like, man, I really wish there was something I could do. I obviously can't go over there. I can't donate much to make any difference. And then it just kind of fell together really nicely.
She says things just fell together. That is, 10 years of jewelry making, a campaign of Facebook posts, enthusiastic support, and long hours bending over copper and silver wire added up. Her fundraising is doing well. And though it's a lot of work, she says it feels good.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely a passion of mine. And this has really helped with my confidence level in that my art can help and make a difference in a way. And it's been really nice.
Out in Australia, Wildlife Rescue Sunshine Coast is a little closer to their fundraising goal. Miller says she'll continue to make pennants until she runs out of supplies or there's no longer a need for donations. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Thanks for joining us. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or wherever you get your podcasts.